I'm Dr. Leif Tappanilla from the Idaho Museum of Natural History, and I'm here with Peter Pruitt from Zoo Idaho, and this is The Nature of Idaho. Coming to you from the 1B, Bannock County that is, we're talking all about Idaho, its wild places and wild faces, the natural setting that makes Idaho an incredible place to live and be proud of. Today our guest is Jennifer Jackson, Regional Communications Manager at Idaho Fish and Game. Today we'll be talking about Project Wild, a program for Idaho educators to bring wildlife and wildlife conservation into the classroom. You know how hard it is to say conservation instead of conversation?
Yeah.
Welcome, Peter. How are you doing?
Doing great. Just wait until I get to the nature news, and then we'll be talking about how hard it is to say words.
All right. So you got some nature news to tell us about.
Yes, we do. Here, wish me luck. Researchers at the University of Witwatersrand have determined that the Euchambercia mirabilis, I made it through.
That's pretty good. Tell us about Euchambercia mirabilis.
It is an ancient mammal-like reptile that they were able to determine that it was kind of the first venomous animal out there.
Right on.
And this is long before snakes and other true reptiles. The hard part about trying to figure this out is venom glands don't fossilize very well. They're not very well preserved.
No, they don't.
Not one bit. Have you come across that?
It's hard to preserve glands.
Yeah, totally.
It turns out,
yeah. And so they've used this advanced computerized tomography scanning techniques to analyze the skull and the canine of the teeth of the Euchambercia. And they created a 3D rendering where they basically sat down and created this rendering, and they really went through it, examined every little aspects of it. And they were able to see some features, especially within the canines.
Yep.
And then some kind of like pre-development areas within the skeleton for the venom glands.
Very cool. So we have poison-producing animals before we have snakes. And these other reptiles.
And they were the precursor to our mammals.
That's pretty cool.
So they're kind of messing the whole system up.
Tell me where the University of Witwatersrand is.
It is in South Africa.
Hey, good. You listened to me before the show.
Yeah, I kind of awesome. Googled it too.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. Well, so that part of the world is famous for a time period of rock called the Permian, and that's when our earliest mammals are starting to run around and do new things, find new solutions to problems. And I guess venom is one of the first things they figure out.
Right, and it's a pretty good solution to a problem of trying to capture elusive prey or prey that fights back.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that
with us.
You know, we like to start off our shows with a little trivia, and today's no different. We're going to be talking about conservation. There, I said the word. And so today's trivia question is, what's a baby sandhill crane called? A special name for baby sandhill cranes. I can't wait to find out.
And I'm guessing it's not baby bird.
We'll find out right after the break.
KISU works hard to ensure the reliability of our FM signal, but occasionally, seasonal weather or equipment failures cause us to go off the air. Get continued access to local news and all the programs you enjoy through the Listen Live link at KISU.org. Or try using your web-connected Amazon or Google smart speaker with the command Play KISU.
Hey, we're back. We want to welcome our guest today. We have our regional communications manager from Idaho Fish and Game, Jennifer Jackson. And we're going to call you Jenny, right?
That's right. You only call me Jennifer if you're mad at me.
Excellent. Well,
yes. And you used my middle name that I know you're really mad at me, like my mama.
Well, excellent. And welcome to our show.
Yeah, welcome. And we don't know your middle name, so you're in luck.
Perfect. And thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Wonderful. So you work for Idaho Fish and Game. And why don't you tell us what you do?
So as the regional communications manager, I get to wear a lot of different hats. In fact, most of the folks at Fish and Game get to wear a lot of different hats. But part of it is I'm a public information officer, so I'll do interviews for television, write articles, news releases for the newspaper, come in and do radio interviews like we're doing today. And then also I have a chance to participate in public meetings and an outreach with the public, and a portion of what I do also includes education and trying to connect folks to good information through education and outreach.
That's cool, because I think me at the zoo, one of the most important components to our programs is that educational component. We can talk all we want. If we're not teaching, actively teaching and actively engaging the community.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, because it's you know, folks don't know what to know unless they're being taught or sharing in that or hearing that message that's being shared. And, you know, and a lot of times they have great questions. The public has wonderful questions. They have, you know, ideas that they've learned about or heard about, and they have questions about those. And so anytime you get a chance to talk with them, and whether it's kids or whether it's adults, it's education's key.
So you're the only regional communication manager, and this is the Southeast region. So how do you make this connection to the public? Because there's a lot of people out there.
And there
is. You can't talk to every single individual and every single child. No. In Southeast Idaho.
It's why their programs like this one are so important, because it allows us a chance to reach an audience. It's why writing articles and working with media is so important, because they can help get that message out there. It's why we work with we hold public meetings and we hold opportunities for the public to show up and ask us questions about what we're doing, or maybe it's a big game season setting or a fishing open house. But it's also our programs that we do in the public, from some of our fishing trailer programs, some of our hunter education programs, and then we have wonderful programs for our teachers as well, our educators. And that's really key, because when we do programs with educators, they can take that message to other students and other folks that they work with. You know, I can only go to so many classrooms or go to so many public meetings, but our educators can get out there and they can really get that word out to so many students year after year.
That's great. One of the programs that you oversee or help out with is Project Wild, and
yes.
I've heard a little bit about this program. Can you tell us what it is?
Sure. So Project Wild has actually been around as a national program for decades, 30, maybe 40 years. I've been involved with Project Wild since I started work here at Fish and Game 14 years ago, and it's an amazing program, because it connects our teachers to the kinds of information and tools, activities, the materials they need to take the information about wildlife and wildlife conservation back to the classroom. And the great thing about Project Wild is it has its own curriculum set up for it, and it comes in a form of these guides that are set up for teachers to use. They want to teach a certain topic or certain activity related to habitat or related to predation or related to migration or whatever the topic may be. They can go to these guides and actually look that information up and find an activity that's relevant to their topic. It has everything they could possibly want to know about setting up that particular activity, or, you know, introducing it to their classroom, background information, actually how to do a particular activity, the steps, connections, literature connections, and that sort of thing. And it's just this wonderful tool set that they have. So, and the great thing about our Project Wild, too, is it's connected to the Idaho State Standards. So it's not something they have to do extra in the classroom and find the time to do extra in the classroom. It can be part of their curriculum that they're trying to achieve to meet those Idaho State Standards.
That's wonderful. How many classrooms are you able to work with in a given year?
Well, so that's the great thing. Rather than working with the classrooms, we're working with the teachers so
right.
they can take it back to the classrooms. And so in my region, I'll have two or three workshops a year. Each region is required to have at least two workshops a year. That's kind of our goal, our focus. And we have seven regions here in the state. And these workshops are geared on everything from basic Project Wild, where we learn about some of the basic fun activities you can do and the information that you can get on basic concepts like habitat and predation and migration, like I was mentioning, or disease, or even hunting and things like that. But we also have some specialized workshops, which are just so much fun. We have teachers that will travel all over the state to take a specialized workshop. Here in our region, we have a workshop called Wild About Turkeys. We have a workshop called Wild About Bats. We've done workshops at the zoo, Wild About Idaho's Native Zoo. It's the only place in the state you can take that particular workshop, is here in Pocatello. So there's a chance to even get real specialized with the type of animal or conservation message that you're trying to hone in on. We're also working on a Wild About Idaho Sagebrush step, and we're hoping to get that workshop going as well. In other parts of the state, we have wild about salmon, wild about elk, wild about mule deer. So really awesome opportunity for teachers to learn more about these amazing critters, their conservation, their management, and then they can take these interesting tools and materials and activities so that they can do that curriculum in their own classroom.
You have an educational pyramid scheme.
It is. It really is. It's an area, yes, but no selling involved.
No
it's really
selling.
Cool, except
well,
selling the conservation message.
Selling the conservation message, and yes. That's free for everyone.
That is, absolutely.
So what is one of your favorite workshops to do?
I really enjoy, I love Wild About Turkeys. I love that workshop because we have an opportunity to actually do a field trip. We go to one of our local board members for the National Wild Turkey Federation, Joe Foster. He has turkeys on his property. We start very early in the morning and we watch the turkeys come out of their roosts and march around on the ground and do their antics and their socializations with each other. We have a chance to dissect turkey gizzards. We have a chance to, believe it or not, even shoot shotguns and archery equipment because it's connecting the hunting component as well to turkey management. We learn about their needs for food, water, shelter, and space. And we get to really learn about them more than just, oh, this is a fun activity we do in the classroom every Thanksgiving. No, turkeys are a wild animal. There's some really unique adaptations and behaviors, and there's a management that goes into maintaining our populations here in Idaho, and we get to share that with our teachers. Wild About Bats is awesome. We do a field trip where we actually go out and set up mist nets to catch bats so you can get a nose-to-nose experience with bats. We've done Wild About Idaho's Native Zoo. That's been awesome because you, Peter, deal with the animals that are native to this state. So you're not going to find wallabies and koalas there, but you're going to find those very creatures we share our backyards with. And that's a really great connection for our teachers as well. And it's a wonderful resource in the community people can learn more about.
Yeah, so, and I think conservation really truly starts
absolutely
at home, in our house, in our classrooms, in our community.
Absolutely.
And it's wonderful to be part of your guys' programs.
Yes, and we love working with our community members, whether it's Zoo Idaho or whether it's the National Wild Turkey Federation or Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. We love working with our community members to bring these workshops to our teachers, and they eat it up. They love it because it's not death by PowerPoint at these workshops. It's an opportunity to get real hands-on. You get to be the student, and you get to try some of the unique activities. I hate to call them games because then kids go home and parents say, what'd you do today? Oh, we did games today.
Games.
No. But neat.
I'm a firm believer in tricking people into learning something.
Absolutely.
The best way to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have activities. We have materials, tools that we can take back in the form of maybe we're going to show you a new way to teach a concept about mule deer populations and you're sneaking in math. Mm-hmm. And you're sneaking and graphing, but they're all the while the kids are doing this, and the teachers get to be the kids at these workshops. They're actually doing a fun kind of like a tag activity outside. It's almost like a Red Rover, and we do that through a wonderful activity called Oh Deer. So there's these fun activities that you can do with the teachers that they can then take back to their kids, and they're learning at the same time.
How have you seen examples of where the teachers that you're bringing into these programs are left really changed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've had teachers come in, like with Wild About Bats, we've had teachers come in, they're not so sure about bats, really. These, don't they fly in your hair and suck your blood? And they leave, as enamored with bats as I am, because they're such an important part of our natural resources. The amount of insects a bat can eat, in an hour, and in the contributions they make to, even to pest control and things like that in our state, besides, are just really cool. And they get to see that. And we've seen teachers go to our Wild About Salmon workshop, which is held in Boise. It's the only place you can take it. It's at one of our hatcheries there. These teachers will go into this workshop thinking, oh, I'm just here to listen to folks talk, and I have to take some notes. And, at the end of this, I'll get my continuing education credit and go home. But when they stand at that hatchery and they hold and they struggle under the weight of a giant salmon that they're holding and they have that real nose-to-nose connection, it changes them. And it changes their passion and the impact that they can make in the classroom. So, yeah, we've had some really neat experiences. I had a personal experience with a teacher who was known at her school as the anti-hunting teacher. Now, you don't have to love hunting. It may not be on your favorite list of things, but it is an important part of some of the conservation and management we do here in this state. In fact, Idaho Fish and Game is funded through the sale of licenses and tags to our sportsmen, and we don't get state tax dollars. So it is part of how we do our conservation here in the state. But she loved our workshops. She loved the idea of our workshops, and she came to one of ours. It was wild about Yellowstone, the Yellowstone ecosystem a few years back. And she was the kind of teacher that if kids were talking about their hunting or their outdoor activities during the weekend, during hunting season, she didn't want to really hear about it and tell them leave their stories at the door. After she spent a weekend with us and she got to see, some of the neat things that Fish and Game does for the wildlife resource, the important, valuable conservation efforts that we take because we are passionate about the wildlife resource. We do care about it. She saw how hunting was just one of the tools that we use in management. And she told me, I will no longer be known as the anti-hunting teacher. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's not going to be my thing, but I get it now. And I understand why the kids do it, and those families do it, and I'm on board with it. And so that was just a quick change, even in just kind of a philosophy that had changed.
Right. Well, that's fascinating. Exposure to what's around us, I think, is always a bit of a marvel. Maybe we take for granted something, some of the assumptions we make,
right.
I guess, about the natural world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then being able to inspire one educator who then can turn around and every year is inspiring a classroom full of kids.
Right.
It's an exponential growth in not only our knowledge of conservation and wild Idaho, but you're snatching up these kids, and they want to take care of what's around them. They don't they don't take it for granted anymore.
No.
That it's always going to be there. I'm so used to the mountains. I'm so used to this. Now they understand that we've got to take a little time, and we've got to care for our resources, our natural resources around the state.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that when you connect people, no matter their age, when you connect them to conservation, when you connect them to the resource, they learn to love that resource. They learn to love the animals and the habitats that lie within that resource, and that means that they're going to have the desire to take care of it and be better stewards of it. And I think it's good to start that as young as you can, and that's why our teachers are such an incredible tool for getting that conservation message out and getting that passion out to those students so that they'll want to care.
So with Project Wild, are you also including the resources along with the knowledge to teach that? Do you have resources available for the teachers?
You bet. So we have, when they come to one of our workshops, besides the, and I will be honest, there will be a couple of PowerPoints. We can't get away from those sometimes, but they walk away with our Project Wild activity guides that have over 150 different activities they can use in the classroom. This is not just for science teachers. We have activities related to math, reading, writing, social studies, art, even movement. There's many activities that you could use in a physical education setting, as well as, of course, science. We have that as well. And they get to take these activities home with them, and we work through some of those activities in the workshop so they can see how they work, how they're supposed to work. They leave with posters and other resources, connections, literature connections. We always try to connect a book or some other kind of resource to what we're learning. We have experts that come in and speak about some of the animals that they're going to be talking about or learning about at the workshop. In the case of like Wild About Idaho's Native Zoo, we're there at the zoo. They get to have a behind-the-scenes tour and really get to see what kind of animals live there and live in Idaho. So it's there's lots that they come away from. I always joke with the teachers, you need to bring a bag or a box to load all your stuff in when you leave, because we're trying to send you away with a lot that you could take back to the classroom and make the job of teaching wildlife and wildlife conservation just a little bit easier.
It's wonderful. How do folks get involved in these workshops? How are they advertised, I guess?
So I do try to advertise them through, you know, the normal channels, social media and you know, news releases and so forth. But, of course, the public can anytime they want to just get on, hop on our webpage at idfg.idaho.gov. They can look under the education menu option, and there's a little option for Project Wild. Click on that, and that'll show you some of the upcoming workshops that we have in the state. And sometimes they'll say that a workshop is not scheduled yet. It doesn't mean one's not going to be scheduled, just we haven't set up the time yet. So if you get on there, you'll see that there's a Wild About Bats workshop coming up in summer of 2020. We just haven't set the dates yet. We'll have Wild About Turkeys coming up. It's probably sometime in November. We just haven't set the date yet, but keep checking back, and then you can register right online. Those workshops are $40, roughly. Sometimes there's a few that are a little bit more if they're a three-day workshop, like Wild About Bears, and the Upper Snake region's a little longer, so there's a little higher fee there. But most of the time, they're $40. And then there's an optional credit you can take, a continuing education credit through most Idaho universities for $60 or $70 extra for that that continuing education credit. And some of our workshops are even STARS approved. And that is for those teachers that work with the early learners, the pre-K through second grade learners. Their approach has to be a little different than if you're teaching, you know, a fifth or sixth grader or even a high school student. So they can actually get extra certification through STARS, which is important for some of those preschool teachers. And tied in with that is also a special workshop we offer just for them, and it's called Wild About Early Learners. So that's a workshop that was developed here in Idaho. In fact, the National Project Wild loved it so much, they asked if they could borrow what we're doing here in Idaho and make it a national program. Nice. And it's for our educators, pre-K through second grade. I mean, anyone can take it, but we're really focusing on how do you teach about movement of elk, migration of elk, you know, to a three-year-old, or how do you teach, you know, the importance of habitat to a five-year-old? And we do that through modified activities. They're designed just for those early learners.
Well, Jenny, I have to thank you for what you're doing. I'm curious how you got into this line of work in the first place.
So I am a biologist by trade.
Yeah.
So I have my bachelor's and my master's. And my bachelor's is in environmental biology, and my master's is environmental science. So I was biologist trade, and believe it or not, I started off, my very first job was actually as a regulatory compliance specialist for the Clean Water Act in California.
Huh.
Okay, so I worked with...
Sounds exciting.
Oh, it's important work now.
Yes,
it's important
I agree.
Work, and it was great. And I appreciated, you know, working with trying to keep construction sites and, you know, operation facilities in code, and it's important work. I like this job right here a whole lot better. Yeah. And I did some teaching. I taught at Dixie College, State College down in St. George at the time.
Yeah.
Now it's a university. I taught biology there for a while and loved it. I've volunteered and worked at nature centers. Loved that. I ran an environmental firm in Georgia for a while. And again, important work, great work. But the work I do for the department, the connection I get every day to the resource, the opportunities I have to work with the public, the chances and the opportunities I get to go out in the field, and then, of course, the education component, that's my passion. That makes it worth getting up every morning and coming to work. So I'm exactly where I need to be, and that's why I've been here for 14 years, and I'll be here for probably another 14.
That's awesome.
And then you'll retire and become a docent at the zoo.
Absolutely. You got it.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, we have our trivia question, and as always, our guest is going to give us the answer. The question, if you missed it at the top of the show, is what is the name, the special name, for a baby sandhill crane? Can you please help us out?
And the answer is A colt. And that's because they have long legs.
Gangly legs. Yes. Like a colt.
Like a colt. So they are a colt.
Guess what? That. Adult sandhill crane have long, gangly legs as well.
They do. But like we do with all other animals, babies just get a different name.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right. We want to thank Jennifer Jackson, Regional Communications Manager at Idaho Fish and Game. To learn more about her work and Project Wild, please visit idfg.idaho.gov and look for the Education tab and then click on the Project Wild link. Shows are recorded here at the studios of KISU Pocatello. Visit us at kisu.org for questions, comments, and audio for all our programs. Our theme music is by Idaho's very own Sons of Bannock, and please remember to get outside and enjoy the nature of Idaho.